Argument today is 20-2174, Jones v. McDonoghue. Mr. Herron, please proceed.
Good morning, Chief Judge Moore, Judge Shaw, Judge Stoll. My name is William Herron. I'm here for the veteran, Mr. Terry Jones. If you'd like for me to, I'll remove the mask.
It's your choice. You can take it off if you feel more comfortable. You can leave it on if you feel more comfortable.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, this morning I would like to speak to you about pending claim and about notice and about logic. First of all, the appellant was discharged from his second tour in the Navy in August of 1973. That's at Appendix 14, 2 months after he had been hospitalized by a Navy psychiatrist, Dr. Rader. He was discharged 2 months after that. That's at Appendix 12. He filed his first claim for a mental condition.
Excuse me, counsel.
I'm sorry?
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In your papers, you're asserting that there was an implicit denial of your client's claim in the 2003 decision. Why wasn't that an express denial?
It wasn't express as far as the pending claim is concerned. It was an express denial of the later claim that he filed in 2003.
So your argument really hinges on whether that denial was also denying the original claim.
Yes, ma'am. It hinges on whether that later denial...
The 2003 denial.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Gave the veteran notice that it was also denying his earlier claim. The pending claim.
What about case law that would say that your view is that it doesn't matter if there's case law saying that the later denial of the earlier claim effectively is a denial of the earlier claim? It doesn't matter. There has to be, in your view, there has to be more notice than that.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm also saying that that's what the Adams case says, that the later denial must give the veteran notice of the denial of his earlier claim. Otherwise, he doesn't know to appeal.
Do you agree that the 2003 decision was addressing the same medical claim
that was
being made in the earlier request?
It was addressing depression, and the pending claim was one for depression as well. But at the time, nobody knew about the pending claim. The pending claim was not identified until years later, about 15 years later, after the 2003 decision. The pending claim was not identified until 2018. So that's another part of our argument, Judge. So that there was no logic in the adjudication of a claim in 2003 that wasn't identified until 2018. But that's the second part of our argument. Our first argument is that there was not any notice. So it was 23 years later, in 2002, that the appellant filed for service connection for depression. It's important to note that at the time, he did not know. Nobody knew that he had a pending claim at that point in time.
The veteran knew he had a pending claim, right?
No, ma'am. He didn't know. Because he had, when he filed his original claim in 1979, he attached Dr. Rader's report That's the psychiatrist that had hospitalized him while he was in service. He attached that report, that medical report, as part of his claim. And he requested that his claim be adjudicated based on that medical report. And the medical report turned out to have more than one condition in it. The medical report diagnosed him with immature personality disorder, but it also diagnosed him with depression. And that's what was missed. He didn't know, and neither did the rating agency at that point in time.
But Mr. Herron, wouldn't the fact that the 2003 RO rating office had before it the entire claims file, wouldn't that make it clear as to what had happened in 1979 and then in 1980?
Well, Judge, they had the entire file at that point in time. But as far as notice is concerned, what they are supposed to do, according to the Adams case that was cited by this court in 2009, they're supposed to give the veteran sufficient notice in the later decision, the 2003 decision, sufficient notice so that he knows that they're denying his pending claim as well. And
the 2003 decision, RO decision, and correct me if I'm wrong, please. Did it not flow from a December of 2002 request to reopen?
Yes, sir, it did. It was about 5 months later, so there was a 5 or 6 month gap in time between the time that he filed in 2002 and the time that the regional office denied the claim in 2003. And that denial was an express denial, of course, but it was a denial of the 2002 application. It didn't deny the pending claim.
Where in the record is the in the record that we have before us in the appendix, the 2002 application? Do we have that in front of us?
Appendix 18, I believe it is, Judge.
Appendix 18. Okay.
Yes, sir. And then if you'll note that the in that application, he was not represented, and he asked the regional office to obtain his medical treatment records, and they did, but they only obtained the current records. That's Appendix 19. So they did obtain some records, but certainly not the earlier records.
So, counsel, at page 18, you have this 2002 request to reopen, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then at page 20, you have the decision, I think the rating decision, where it expressly denies a claim for major depressive disorder.
Yes, ma'am.
But you're saying that denial isn't sufficient? Why is that denial not sufficient?
Well, what we're saying, Judge, is that not so much that the denial itself was not sufficient, but that the board didn't make the determination whether the veteran was on notice by that denial. That's a factual inquiry.
I don't understand that. The rating officer report says based on the evidence reviewed, major depressive disorder is denied. How could somebody not be on notice that major depressive disorder is denied when it says expressly major depressive disorder is denied? What am I missing? I must be misunderstanding.
He was on notice that his claim for depression, his 2002 claim for depression, was denied. Yes, ma'am. We're not saying that he wasn't. The question is whether that gave him notice that his pending claim, a claim that he didn't even know that existed at that point in time, was also being denied.
What about the fact that page A20 says that, you know, in discussing the reasons for the decision, and in particular the service connection for major depressive disorder, it says a review of your claims or folder shows that a rating decision dated March 5th, 1980 denied service connection for immature personality disorder. And then it goes on. So therefore, just following up on Judge Shaw's question, why doesn't the reference to the review of the claims folder suggest that, you know, under Williams, our case law in Williams, what was happening here was a denial of a later claim, which also denied the exact same claim that had been made earlier?
It denied the exact same condition.
Right.
But
it's looking, it says a review of your claims folder. So suggesting, and the claims folder included the 1979 claim.
Well, it did, but it wasn't known at that time because it was only in 2018 that the board found that the claim had been pending all that time. That pending claim had not been recognized until 2018.
So your view is that Williams is inapplicable in this case. I mean, Williams holds that final adjudication of identical second claim subsumed the identical claim and constitutes a final adjudication of the initial claim as well, right? Why doesn't that apply here?
Ma'am?
Why would that case law not apply here?
Well, because for one thing, at the time in 2003, the pending claim was not known. It was not identified until 2018 by the board. The board declared that claim to be pending, and declared it to have been unadjudicated.
Even though the identical claim was adjudicated later, and our case law says if there's an earlier claim that's pending, and then an identical claim is decided on for the same disorder, that in fact it is adjudication of the initial claim, even if it's unknown. You would say if it's unknown that can't apply.
Yes, ma'am, that's right.
But counsel, one more question. I think part of the problem for me is that in 2018, the board expressly found, and this is a fact finding, and this is at page 75 of the appendix, that the VA did not properly adjudicate the broader claim of service connection for a psychiatric disability filed in 1979 until much later. The eventual April 2003 denial in that matter was unappealed, became final based on the evidence of record, and nothing suggests that the VA received either substance evidence within a year, blah, 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 blah. So I guess the question is, why isn't this 2018 board decision a conclusion that the 2003 denial was a denial that covered the 1979 claim?
Well, what the board said was that that depression had been considered in 2003. The board did not say that the earlier claim, the 1979 claim, had been considered in 2003. Simply said that depression was considered in 2003.
But wasn't depression an element of the 1979 claim, Ms. Tiernan? Because I was looking you look at Appendix 15, the statement in support of the claim, and this is in 1979, says, Item 2, psychiatric evaluation made on June 15, 73 with medical report. And we have that evaluation, and it contains a reference to possibly depression, but it says no depression, immature personality disorder. So, I mean, isn't it clear that the 79 claim, which everyone knew about, embodied this claim for depression or depressive disorder?
The way I read the regional office's decision there, Judge, is that...
Are you saying the RO decision in 80 or 2003?
In 2003, the regional office was saying that he had not acquired depression while in service, which is contrary to the 1973 report of Dr. Rader.
Well, no, I think it said the Rader report, as I read it, stated that that there was some indication of depression, but he found on the whole, he said there was obvious anxiety and some underlying depression. This is in Appendix 13. But then the final conclusion is that there's an immature personality disorder.
That's exactly correct, Judge. And later, approximately 2018, the board found as a factual matter that depression had been overlooked back in 1980. And it could be, we don't know, but it could be because Dr. Rader emphasized immature personality disorder. He didn't set it out as prominently as he did. He didn't set out depression as prominently as he did personality disorder. So it was missed. The 1980 regional office missed it, according to the board. The board found that claim had been pending. So,
Mr. Herron, why don't we hear from the government at this point?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, and may it please the court. We respectfully request that the court dismiss this appeal, or in the alternative, affirm the decision below for two reasons. First, appellant frames this as a legal argument over the correct way to apply the implicit denial rule, when really this is simply an argument over facts, over which this court does not possess jurisdiction. Second, if the court does determine that it possesses jurisdiction, the Veterans Court correctly held that Mr. Jones received sufficient notice in 2003 that his claim for anxiety depression was adjudicated at that time, and that claim became final. Turning to my first point, this court should dismiss this appeal. Appellant has made only a factual argument. This is not a legal question. This is purely an application of law to facts. Appellant is asking the court to review whether the implicit denial rule applies in this particular factual situation. This is not a question over the validity or the interpretation of a statute, regulation, or a rule of law. And here the court doesn't even need to get to the question of the implicit denial rule because the Veterans Court specifically stated on page 4 of its opinion, and this is on appendix page 4, that I believe Your Honor quoted, nobody implicitly denied anything here. Rather, the 2003 rating decision expressly and unambiguously stated, service connection for major depressive disorder is denied since this condition neither occurred in nor was caused by service. Now, that statement on its own demonstrates that Mr. Jones's claim was denied in 2003. Even if, by some chance, Mr. Jones did not know in 1979 that he was filing a claim for anxiety or depression.
Does the Veterans Court get to make these kinds of fact findings?
No, it does not, Your Honor.
That's what I was kind of wondering. I know we don't get to make these kinds of fact findings. I kind of thought maybe the Veterans Court didn't either, right? That you have to look in whether the board made the determination.
Yes, and I apologize if I referenced the Veterans Court making this factual determination. You are correct. It is the board making these factual determinations.
So there's no doubt that the Veterans Court says very clearly the board specifically denied service connection for the major depressive disorder, and they specifically say that that means the 1979 claim was no longer remained unadjudicated after the 2003 decision. But where in the 2003 decision is that specific denial? I assume you're going to point me to page 20, right, of the appendix. That's the 2003 decision.
Yes, I also have it at supplemental appendix page 92. And on supplemental appendix page 93.
I'm sorry, what did you say there?
Supplemental appendix page
93. Supplemental.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, got it.
And on page 93 of that, under the second bullet point, the board says, or the regional office says, service connection for major depressive disorder. And there's the sentence in that first paragraph that states, service connection for major depressive disorder is denied since this condition neither occurred in nor was caused by service. And it specifically mentions that rating decision from 1980.
What I think, if I understand Mr. Jones's argument, it is that this is denying his 2002 claim for major depressive disorder, but not clearly denying the 1979 unadjudicated claim. I mean, the government's argument is this has nothing to do with the implicit denial rule because there's express denial. So address his claim that this is not, in fact, an express denial of the 1979.
Right. If we do go to the factual determinations, that Mr. Jones's 1979 claim...
Well, I normally can't get to the factual determinations, neither can the Veterans Court. So how does this get adjudicated? If the government comes in and says there was an express denial by the board, and we look and we're like, I don't see an express denial, if that's the case, mm-hmm. What happens?
That would be a question of whether the implicit denial rule was correctly applied. And in that case, the implicit denial rule looks at whether the claimant had notice. Notice of whether a particular claim was adjudicated and whether that claimant had the opportunity for due process to then appeal that claim. And so the question is, well, was it correctly applied in, 2003, did that 2003 claim deny the 1979 claim for anxiety depression?
Are you saying expressly or implicitly? Could you be a little more clear? Are you saying expressly or implicitly when you're referring to the April 10, 2003 rating decision?
Yes, that claim explicitly denied.
Why?
Because it stated major depressive disorder is denied. It also referenced the 1980 decision. That 1980 decision was looking at examining that 1973 medical report, which was attached to Mr. Jones's 1979 claim. This was a medical report conducted in Long Beach. That 1980 claim specifically references that report in Long Beach. It's saying, and then again in 2003, the regional office specifically, or I'm sorry, Mr. Jones's 2002 claim specifically states that his condition for anxiety depression began in 1966 and was treated in Long Beach.
Are you relying on any case law, for example, the Williams case? Is the government relying on that?
Your Honor, we don't remember if we specifically cited Williams in our brief, but yes, we are relying on the case law that states when there was an explicit denial, then... There was an explicit denial here. There's no need to even get to the implicit denial question. If we do get to the implicit denial question, the question is whether there was sufficient notice, and here there was. In 2003, that Mr. Jones's claim was adjudicated, and he did have the opportunity for appeal.
Our court in Williams held that the final adjudication of an identical second claim also serves as an adjudication of an initial identical claim. You're not relying on that? That's what I understand. I asked you that question, and I don't think you answered it.
I don't remember if we cited that case in our brief, but...
I just want to know if right now, as you're standing here, are you relying on that case?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we are. Yes, that case goes to... That case does apply very well here, because this claim for depression was... Mr. Jones made this claim for depression throughout. When the regional office denied it in 2003, it was referencing his 2002 claim, which stated the claim for anxiety depression treated in Long Beach, which was a reference to that 1973 report attached to Mr. Jones's 1979 claim. This is not a legal question that appellant is raising. This is purely a factual question. The legal question here is that there was an express denial, and that was correctly determined below. Even if we do get to that implicit denial rule and that question, it was clear for two reasons. First, it was clear to a reasonable person that Mr. Jones's 2002 claim also intended to dispose of that 1979 claim for anxiety and depression. Again, he specifically referenced the anxiety and depression treated in Long Beach in his 2002 claim, and that 2003 decision explicitly denied service connection for anxiety depression.
Can you back up and just tell me again your understanding? What is our court's jurisdiction over fact findings?
Yes, this court's jurisdiction it does not have jurisdiction over findings of fact. This court purely looks at whether makes determinations over the validity or the interpretations of statutes, regulations, or rules of law.
Unless, of course, it's related to a constitutional issue, right? Yes. Then we do have fact finding.
Yes.
Okay, so now what's the Veterans Court's jurisdiction over fact findings? What can the Veterans Court do?
The Veterans Court looks to whether the board correctly made determinations in applying the law.
I guess I'm just trying to understand about fact findings. Does the Veterans Court have the ability to review board fact findings?
The Veterans Court does not have the ability to make its own factual determinations. The Veterans Court only looks at, it reviews the board decisions.
What standard do they apply?
I'm not sure off the top of my head.
So the Veterans Court can review the board fact findings?
I guess it can, the Veterans Court can review, if we look at what happened here, the Veterans Court determined that the board correctly stated that there was an explicit denial.
You're saying, correctly would sound like de novo, right? So So is that the standard of review that the Veterans Court uses for fact findings? It reviews board fact findings de novo?
Yeah, that is correct.
The Veterans Court reviews board fact findings de novo?
I think I've answered that incorrectly.
At page appendix 3, the Veterans Court states says, this is the middle of the first full paragraph, says, the board's determination as to the proper effective date is a finding of fact that the court reviews for clear error. And it cites the statute. So, I mean, to that extent, the court doesn't make fact findings, but it reviews for clear error a board fact finding, as I would read that.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. That is correct.
Anything further, counsel?
No. For these reasons, we respectfully request that the court dismiss this appeal or affirm the decision below. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Heron, I'll restore 2 minutes of rebuttal time.
Well, respectfully, I would suggest that the facts that were not found here, or the fact that was not found, is whether the veteran had reasonable notice. Argument was made that it was clear, that it should be clear to a reasonable person that his pending claim had been denied. That's the fact that wasn't decided. The board never did decide whether the 2003 claim had given the veteran reasonable notice, or notice that a reasonable person would take as notice of denial of the earlier claim. That fact was never addressed.
The Veterans Court found it was.
Ma'am?
The Veterans Court found it was. The Veterans Court expressly said the board found that, and it affirmed it.
Well, the Veterans Court said that that the board had found the express denial of the claim of depression, but neither the board nor the court ever addressed whether that 1979 claim had been addressed in 2003.
So therefore, the board concluded that although the depression claim had remained pending after 1979, the depression claim from 1979, it no longer remained adjudicated after the 2003 rating decision.
As far as depression is concerned, yes, ma'am. But whether the question, even in Williams, which wasn't briefed by either party in this case, even in that case, the question was notice to the veteran, and notice has not been determined here. If the board had determined in the manner that it is supposed to, set out in Adams and in Cogburn, if it had made those determinations of the objective criteria to determine whether a reasonable person would be on notice that his earlier claim was being denied, if that had been done, then the Veterans Court could have reviewed that factual determination under clear error. But there's never been a determination of whether a reasonable veteran or a reasonable person would have known from the 2003 decision whether his earlier claim was also being denied. And that's the issue in Adams, or even in Williams, is whether the veteran was on reasonable notice that his earlier claim was being denied. And those are not really the same claims. It's the same medical condition, granted that. But it's not the same claim. In 2003, the veteran was filing a claim based on records that had been generated in 2003.
We were way over your time.
I'm sorry.
So I thank you for your argument. I thank both counsel. We're going to take this case under submission.